I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 262. All right, jumping right in. First one, Sinister Sightings Paranormal. Hey, bestie boos. How can we let our sinister sighting stories dwindle down to next to nothing? In my best Blanche Devereaux dramatic Southern Belle voice, I have so many stories to tell, but I fell into the false security that they were a year out. I'm here hoping to do my part to replenish the stash. I sent this in on 12/18/2023 for those keeping track. Now on to the story. I've lived in many haunted places, and I'll send a sinister sightings for each address. This is a story about my very short stay at a Jefferson Street Apartments in Potosi in Missouri. I was a single mom of a six-month-old baby girl. My first experience there was when I was giving my baby a bath in the tub and she kept looking behind me and talking baby gibberish. I sensed something behind me and turned my head quickly to see a huge black opaque shadow on the ceiling. I watched it slither down the wall and under the closed door to the spare bedroom. I quickly scooped my butt-naked baby up, wrapped her in a towel, and noped out the front door. I ran with my baby in my arms to my BFF's house. My best friend Tiffany lived around the corner from me, about a 5-minute walk, and I ran my extra-large pizza ass there in what seemed like 1 minute. I don't have a car, but Tiffany did, so we hopped in her car and she drove us back to my apartment. Now, Tiffany is a badass paramedic who was not afraid of anything. She also had a little girl my daughter's age and was a single mom as well, so we were each other's village and helped one another often. Anyway, she grabbed her baby and we drove over to my place. I didn't even shut my apartment door. I just left it wide open. Potosi is a small town where people left their doors unlocked and keys in their visors all the time. She went inside while I stayed in the car with the babies. She went from room to room to assure me that there was nothing there and offered to stay the night with me. So we made a huge pallet in the living room, ordered pizza, and watched movies while the babies slept. It was around 10 p.m. and I went to the kitchen to grab us some more soda. When I heard Tiffany yell, "Run!" When I ran into the living room, it was empty and the front door was standing open. I ran outside and saw Tiffany with both babies under her arms like footballs, running across the parking lot and across the street. And I took off barefoot and only a nightshirt. When I called up to her, she could barely talk and she just kept saying, "Panther, shadow, red eyes." When she calmed down where I saw the shadow thing earlier, and while seated doing her business with the door open, she saw a panther-like thing walk from the spare room towards the living room where the babies were sound asleep. Now, if this were anyone else, I would have thought they were messing with me because of what I saw earlier. Not Tiffany. She was a very matter-of-fact, straightforward, honest person. She did not do pranks or scary stuff. After that, I didn't return to that apartment for about a week. I stayed with Tiffany, and we knew I had to eventually go to that apartment to get more clothes and baby items. So we had her neighbor watch. We pulled into the complex parking lot. We saw that every blind on every window in my unit was pulled all the way up. We knew that was not how we left the place, so we took a deep breath and agreed that we would take 5 minutes to grab what we could and leave. She put the car in park and left it running just in case. As I looked down to take my seatbelt off, Tiffany grabbed my arm, digging her nails into me, and said, "Do you see him?" I looked up and there was a man wearing a dirty, yellowed button-down shirt and a wide-brimmed straw hat. He was staring at us from the kitchen with the most evil grin I've ever seen. We both screamed and she backed out in reverse way faster than what was safe. I never went back there. The apartment complex packed up my apartment and left everything in front of it for me to pick up. The maintenance man met me there to help me load things into the truck and told me that he was hoping the old man wouldn't bother me because they thought he just hated men. Excuse the fuck out of me? They knew about this and they did not say anything? He ended up telling me and Tiffany that they can't keep tenants there very long. He told us that the property was once a farm and the owner was horrible to his workers and livestock. In fact, there's a creek right across the street, the Minnebritten Creek, and artifacts from the farm are still found sometimes after a storm, like pieces of old farm equipment and thick iron chains that I can only hope were for farming and not people. I moved to Potosi about 15 years ago, but my kids have family from their dad's side there. So when I have to drive past those apartments, I always wonder if the farmer recognizes me and I pray that he stays put. Love you girls bunches and say hi to your Tiff for me. No girlfriend group is complete without a Tiffany. Am I right? Marie. Fuck all of that.
When you were saying Tiffany was your friend, I was like, oh gosh, it sounds like me and Tiffany, like living close. Mm-hmm. Tiffany had a car, I didn't. And then you were like, she was a badass paramedic that wasn't scared of anything. And I was like, no, no, me and Tiffany are equally scared.
Yeah, that's not, doesn't describe our Tiffany.
Mm-mm. But you're right. Every group should have a Tiffany.
Also, all I can think about is from Clueless when she's like, she could be a farmer in those clothes. Like, that's all I could think of for some reason. Meanwhile, it wasn't until the end that you were talking about the guys talking about the farmer that I thought it was like an actual person who had maybe like broken in or something. And then I was like, oh my God, it was like an apparition.
Yeah. Well, when you said it was empty, the front, like the front living room or whatever, I was like, they stole everything. But I get what you mean. Like, it was empty. She was outside carrying the babies.
Yeah. But like, why a panther too, though? That's weird. Like, it went from like an Alex Mack blob to like a panther.
Yeah, that's...
Mm-mm. How would we describe these things if it weren't for the show Alex Mack?
I don't know.
Meanwhile, everyone under the age of 30 is like, the fuck are they talking about? Who's Alex Mack?
Speaking of Alex Mack, though, I wonder if the shit that went down... I think she was pre that dude who was terrible in Nickelodeon that documentary's about.
Yes, yes, she was.
Okay. All right, the next one. Hello, Donna and Carrie. My name is Niamh from Tyrone, Ireland. I've been meaning to write in about my paranormal experiences for over a year now, but I just never knew where to start as I grew up in a very haunted house. There's just so much to talk about. Apologies for the bad grammar in advance. And buckle up because it is a long story. I grew up in a council estate with my mom, who was a single mom at the time. She ended up marrying my now stepdad, and we moved out of our council house into a very big house in the countryside. At first look at the house, you could tell it's old and full of history. It's attached to three other houses in a row. At one point, the four houses were joined together and then were renovated into a pub over 300 years ago. It was then split into separate houses, and our house was a landlord's house through the Great Famine in Ireland, and then a doctor's surgery. So yeah, of course, it's very haunted. My paranormal experiences started to happen almost immediately when we moved in. My mommy would say because this new house was just a lot bigger and I wasn't used to it, and maybe was feeling a little bit homesick. It was very frustrating for me because I was 8 years old and I didn't feel like I was being taken seriously at all because I was a child. Every night, I would hear the footsteps of a person walking outside my bedroom door, and I mean every single night. A few times a week, these footsteps would proceed to come into my room. I would hear my door open as it was very creaky, and this person would walk the whole way from my bedroom door towards my bed. I never saw this person actually come into the room, and it scared me so much that I started hiding under the covers when I heard them outside. When the footsteps would reach the side of my bed, I would hear someone whispering, "Is she sleeping yet? Is she sleeping yet? I wonder if she's sleeping." I would ask my mommy if she came into my room the night before whispering, as it was a woman's voice. I remember her saying no, that she didn't come into my room, but she'll start to come in and check on me before she goes to bed, if I wanted. And of course I said yes, I was absolutely terrified. My nighttime routine was starting to get so bad that mommy tried to convince me that because the house was old, it settles in the night, and I was hearing creaks from the house settling and the pipes from the heating could make the floorboards move and make noise. This helped me settle quite a bit more, but it didn't stop the woman coming into my room and whispering in my fucking ear. My mom eventually took me to the doctors claiming that I was having night terrors, and the doctor said that I could potentially be experiencing sleep paralysis. As a child, I just took the doctor's word for it. There must be something wrong with me. I must be imagining it or dreaming. I had to fall asleep with the CD playing on repeat to block out the noises that my house would make. I would also sleep with my head under the blankets, which helped a lot too. I was absolutely terrified. My mom eventually got sick of me complaining and being scared of the room, so she eventually moved me to a different room in the house. And when my baby brother was born, he got my room. Straight away, I felt more at ease and comfortable in my new room. However, when my brother turned around 4 or 5, he started to say to us that he didn't like his room because of shadows and the noises. He eventually flat out refused to sleep in his room and would sleep with my sister in her room for years. And I mean years. I think he was 10 or 11 when he eventually went back and stayed in his old room. My ma and stepdad became concerned and booked him into a child psychiatrist because he had become such a nervous and withdrawn child. During his appointment, he told the psychologist about why he doesn't like his room, and he said that he could see shadows of people walking around his room, he could hear footsteps, and he could hear a woman's voice whispering. The psychologist asked my little brother what the woman was whispering, and he said that she seemed to always want to know if he was sleeping yet. When I heard this, my heart dropped to my ass. I am not fucking joking. She also had a big dollhouse in her clinic and asked my brother to place the figures in the room in the house where he sees and hears them the most. He put all of us in each of our rooms and then an old woman in his room, an old man downstairs in the front room, and a little girl on the third floor, which we called the attic. Spook level 5,000. After that appointment, my ma said, "Enough of this shit, I'm calling the priest." The parish priest came to bless the house and told my ma and stepdad that this was not the first time this house had been blessed and that it had been blessed at least 6 times before. So to not get our hopes up too much that anything will change. Of course, nothing did change except that my little sister now had an imaginary friend called, wait for it, Killer. Our family still laughs about it to this day. She would set an extra large plate at the table for Killer, and she would ask Mummy to buy Killer a new dress because hers was very gray, dusty, and ripped. I just about lost my fucking mind when Killer came into the picture. I was afraid to be in that house alone. The straw that broke the camel's back was one night I woke up around 2:30, 3 a.m. to pee, and I was just about to get out of bed when I heard my brother running down the hall and into the bathroom beside my room. I waited in bed for him to leave the bathroom until I realized that the running had come from my old room and my brother doesn't sleep there anymore. I was so shocked I got up and waited outside the bathroom because I wanted to tell him that I was proud of him for facing his fears and sleeping in that room that he was so scared of. There was no noise in the bathroom, so I opened the door to check and yep, there was no one there. I put this down to me hearing things because it was the middle of the night and I was so tired, but that just about tipped me over the edge. But this new routine would continue and still continues to this day. We distinctly hear a child running from that room down the hall and into the bathroom and not coming out again. It just disappears. I've heard it when I've been downstairs on my own as well. And my old babysitter said that she heard the exact same running in the hall a few times when she had minded us. I told Mummy about this and she confessed that she had heard it a few times over the years, but never really thought much about it until she was really sick in her bed one day and she heard my brother run into her room and get in the bed beside her and put his arm over her. She turned around, but no one was there. And of course, no one would have been there because it was during the day and we were all in school. After that encounter, my mummy decided to book an appointment with the medium to come and suss out the house. The medium came, and what she said nearly floored me. She said that there were an awful lot of spirits in the house, so much so that she couldn't pinpoint how much there actually were. She said there's a presence of an old man, and he's quite a negative energy towards other men. She said that she got visions of this man pressing down on men's chests that have slept in the house. My stepdad confessed that he's woke up in the middle of a night quite a few times with an asthma attack or just struggling to get his breath. The medium said that there is an older woman who seemed to be a nanny figure and a little girl that was a servant of some kind. She said the little girl came through a lot to her in that session and that she was close to my little sister, but she wanted her to know that she was calling her the wrong name and her name was actually Claire. My mom was so shocked because she didn't mention to the medium about my little sister's imaginary friend at all. The medium said that the spirits have no desire to leave the house and she doubts anything can be done to remove them. We made peace with the house after that meeting and decided that since there wasn't anything malicious happening, that we would just ignore it and get on with life. Fast forward about 15 years. I have a daughter and she often has sleepovers with my mom at her house in my old bedroom. One night when my daughter was 2.5, she woke up screaming in convulsions. My ma said that she had never heard anyone scream in that type of terror before. When she eventually got her settled, my daughter told her that there was a man with glasses playing peekaboo, and he was scary looking. She called him a bear, which is a word that she used to describe everything scary. From that day forward, my daughter has never stayed in that house again. She's 4 now, and she still says she never wants to see the scary man in her granny's house ever again. The encounter that my daughter had really broke something inside of me. I cried and cried and cried because not only did I believe her straight away, but I understood the fear that she felt. I was devastated for her to have been that scared that young. And I'm devastated for myself that I had to grow up thinking that there was something wrong with me because I was imagining these shadows and noises and voices. I think kids are very sensitive to their sixth sense, and they should really be listened to more if they're having genuine fears, because I know for myself, I had to grow up with very low confidence, and I find it very hard to express emotions and explain my feelings. I'm going to leave this story here, but I have so much more to say about this house. Some incidents that have happened are like something straight out of a horror film. I'm sorry if my writing's all over the place and hard to understand. Creep It Real and lots of love, Neve.
It's like such a double-edged sword with your daughter because it's like she validated everything you've been through, but it also reminded you of the fact that nothing you went through as a child was validated from your parents. And it's hard when you go through something and your parents don't believe you.
Yeah. But what you can hold on to is that, and I think that all parents want their children to do better, be better, and you are doing better. You're listening to your daughter. You're not forcing her to like, oh, it's just your imagination. You're going to go stay at granny's or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not forcing her into a situation that she's not comfortable in. Good mama.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just think about how terrified y'all had to be going to bed at that. And like then to be woke up from someone whispering, is she sleeping? Well, I was, ma'am.
Yeah. Why is she such a nosy bitch? Like, why does she care?
I don't know, because, well, then if she's a nanny type, she might just be like, oh, is she sleeping? Like, she's good. She's good. You know, like.
Yeah, but like, damn, woman.
I know. That would be me. Like, that really reminded me of like when we played Gin Rummy, me and Tiffany. I don't like that game because I want to know if you're about to go down. Like, yes. I don't understand. And so, like, we can, the first card Tiffany pulls, I'm like, are you going down? Are you out? Are you going down? Are you out? Like, it's ridiculous. It gives me so much anxiety. And that would be me as a ghost. Are you asleep? Can you see me? What's going on? But yeah, we look forward to all the other stories because you painted a picture like so well because I was thinking, this sounds like the damn Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to read you the title of this one because I don't want to give anything away. Hello, ladies. With the stockpile of sinister sightings getting low, I thought it would be as good time as any to write in with a few personal stories and a couple of true crime events local to me that you folks and your listeners might not hear otherwise. The last story I wrote in about quite a while ago was the death of Mary T. Upland from Prince Edward Island in Canada, who was murdered and buried without her head. Her skull was then discovered in the storage of a pharmacy and was reunited with her body more than a century later. I'll try not to ramble on too much and just get right to it. Apologies if this ends up being long. As far back as I can remember, I have seen what some might call shadow people or spirits, always in my periphery, just out of my direct sight. I can see them well enough to make out silhouettes, but not solid figures. More like colorful outlines or auras. It's a little difficult to explain what they look like exactly, but the best way I can think of it is picture the old 3D comics. They had double outlines around the image in red and blue. I hope that makes sense. If I look straight ahead and focus on these figures, I can watch them for a while and see them moving around and in and out of my field of vision, but always just out of direct sight. Except this one time, I came face to face with one of the aura figures. A few years back, I was out driving around with a couple of friends one evening in October. I had been sober driving while my two friends, B and J, had been puffing the old devil's lettuce. It was getting late in the evening, probably close to 11 p.m., when one of my friends got the idea to pull over at a corn maze we were passing on our random cruise around the outskirts of town. Now, I admit that the corn maze was not technically open for business at this time of night, and there may be a few strict rule followers listening to this who will get their feathers ruffled because we were technically trespassing, but to those people, I say lighten up. It was a small pumpkin patch and corn maze stand where you pay using the honor system, meaning there's not usually someone there working. There's a cash box that you put your payment into, and the owners trust that you will leave the appropriate amount. We also live in a fairly small town where people are usually pretty chill, and as long as we didn't cause any damage, I doubt anyone would have minded us being there. There were no street lights where we were, so it was pretty dark, but the moon was shining bright enough that we could make out the paths through the corn maze without having to use flashlights. The paths are fairly narrow, probably wide enough to fit two people snugly. So we just walked single file with me in the lead, B behind me, and Jay at the end. We ended up getting stuck in this maze for a while, unable to find the exit. We started just making random turns whenever we came to an intersection of pathways, not caring much at all about finding our way out, just having fun and getting all turned around. We came to a T-shaped intersection where we could turn left or right. I made the decision in my mind that we would turn left at this turn. We took a few steps closer and we were about to make the turn when from around the corner, I see one of those aura figures appear, maybe about a foot in front of my face. Just like every other aura figure I have seen before, I could only see outlines, but for the first time, I was looking at this figure straight on. The colorful auras were a stark contrast to the dark night, and I very clearly could make out a human face. The figure stepped out from around the corner, and I could make out the unmistakable movement of his mouth, and he mouthed, "Boo," then threw his head back in laughter. I didn't hear his voice or the laughter, but I still to this day very clearly see his face in my mind, and I'm sure of what I saw. I, of course, screamed and turned to run, and ran face first into B's chest. I told the guys what I had just seen, and Jay made jokes about how I was supposed to be the sober one. My heart was pounding, and I had goosebumps all over. It's creepy to think that this ghost had been watching us wander through this corn maze and waited for the perfect opportunity to pull off a jump scare. It only took a few minutes for me to steady myself so we could continue trying to find our way out. This time, B took the lead, and I was between the two of them, holding onto the back of B's shirt for extra emotional support. After a few more turns, I somehow ended up back in the front of our group. I was thinking to myself, how the hell did I end up in the front again? And just as something came flying over my head and landed on the ground in front of us with a thud. It took me a second to make out what it was in the dark. It was a pale skin color with splatters of red all over and a few small slender things sticking out of one end. Suddenly, I realized what it was, a severed hand. Again, I scream and I turn to run. No one was slowing me down this time. I ran right past the guys and left them in my dust, running back the way we had come. This time, I could hear the laughter. It was familiar. My friends were cracking up as my fear subsided. I realized what had just happened. Jay, the perpetual jokester, had picked up one of the Halloween props on our way into the maze and kept it in his pocket waiting for the right time to scare us. We eventually found our way to the exit. I picked out a pumpkin, put the appropriate amount of cash in the pay box, and we climbed back into the car. The boys still laughing at me. It was an amazing and terrifying experience. I haven't seen any aura figures straight on like that since that night. I kind of hope it does happen again so I can absorb the moment instead of running screaming from it. Thanks again for all you do and the wonderful community you have created. Your voices have kept me company while working for the past couple of years. Love you lots, Shannon. Not my sister being that damn ghost one day.
Uh-huh.
She loves to jump scare somebody and be like, boo, like that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. She'll be that one day. I saw this TikTok yesterday. Of course, I can't remember what the experiment is called, but you look at this like little T in the middle of the screen. And then it flashes like pictures of faces on the sides of it. And if you're looking at that little T, it will look like those faces are so distorted. Like it will really look like you've got like a oversized forehead, big googly eyes, like all these different things. If you look at the pictures, it's completely normal.
And you didn't save this?
I know. But it's like something that they say, of course, this is like from TikTok, so it could not be true. So allegedly, but they say it's like something that our brains can't process the faces in the periphery. But like when you look at it, it's normal. And I'm like, now that I saw that, I'm wondering how much of what we see isn't as distorted as we think it is. It's just because it's in that field of vision.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, they don't really know why that is.
Also, a maze sounds amazing. Didn't mean to make that pun, but just thinking about getting lost and having to keep walking to get out, I'm like, okay, I would have fun until I was tired, and then I would just want to be able to, like, bloop, and go exit.
Yeah, because look, it's all fun and games until you can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Because one time when Colby and I very, very first got together, we did one of those mirror mazes. And it was fun, like, pull you over here, give you a little smoochy smooch, until it was like, wait, I really can't figure out how the fuck to get out of here. And then a little bit of panic sets in because it's like, no, like, I really can't figure out how to get out of here, you know? And then for y'all, it being night and you're in a corn maze where nobody knows where you are. What if you got to pee? Uh-uh. No toilet paper? Uh-uh.
You got corn.
Gross.
Okay, the next one. We call it him. Hi, Donna and Carrie. I am so glad to be finally writing in. I've been listening since the spring of 2019, and since then, I've gotten a big girl job, and I will be joining Patreon soon. I work as an EMT, and I'll be going back to school for my advanced EMT shortly. So to say I have some stories is an understatement. Now, let's get into one of the scariest things that has ever happened to me, and I still carry the paranoia today from these events. It was the winter of 2018, and I'm living by myself and found myself in not the best positions or situations. I blame my newfound freedom of college. A little backstory and trigger warning for suicide. My ex's father had died by suicide when he was younger. The house where it happened stayed abandoned and was two houses down from where we were at. Now, this house was dark. No matter what time of day it was, if you looked in the windows, it was pitch black. It was also cooler around the house and property no matter the season. My ex told me about a story living in that house that consisted of him and his brother seeing a dark shadow person with red glowing eyes. The night when this experience happened, we were just sitting around the table playing cards when my ex informed us that we need to go check on his grandfather's house. His grandfather was the only person who lived in this valley, at least a 5-minute drive down a winding gravel road leading off the mountain into the valley, which one part you have to go back down because there wasn't enough room to turn around. Real sketchy. My ex, his cousin, and I all gather up to go check on the farm animals and the house. Upon arrival, we notice that one of the dogs is blocking the driveway up to the house. Usually, she would walk in front of the car and wag her tail and then would walk beside the car. This night was different. She stood dead still in front of the car and started baring her teeth and snarling at us. We continued forward and she finally walked off, but not following the car up to the house like she had so many times before. Once we get to the house, there's an eerie feeling. I'm from deep eastern Kentucky and in the middle of the woods, and let me tell you, there was not a single noise to be heard in this entire valley. It was like we were the only ones around. You couldn't hear the dogs barking or the chickens running around. We entered the house and everything felt off. The floors felt uneven, the light seemed to be a little blurred. As I'm sitting there, as they do their rounds, we heard a loud thud. We all looked at each other and decided it's time to leave. Nothing was out of place, just weirdly quiet and still. We got into the car and was having trouble starting it. My heart began to race and I begged for my ex to please just leave. We started up the hill and I'm not exactly why I did it, but I wish every day after that I didn't. I decided to look down the hill towards the house. The porch light was on, however, underneath the porch light was this tall black shadow figure with red eyes. I lost my breath, my eyes began to water, and I noticed my ex and his cousin are both pale looking out the window towards the house. I slowly and quietly asked them, "Do you see him too?" They all nod. As soon as we all confirmed what we were looking at, the figure raised its right arm as if it was waving at us. This thing we had all seen just waved at us. Mind you, we're in the car with the windows up and about 800 feet up the hill. With no other warning signs, my ex slams on the gas pedal and drives us out of there. On the way back to his cousin's house, we're silent. Once we get to the house, we all start trying to confirm what we just saw and trying to reason it away. After about 30 minutes, I feel drained. I want to go home. I pack up and decide to leave. The only problem is passing that creepy abandoned house. It's pitch black outside, and I'm still on a single road. While driving by the abandoned house to go home after this whole experience, I just had a strange feeling. So I slowed down around the curve when I heard a loud, "Hey," come from my back seat. I threw my car into park and made the dumb decision to stop. As I'm trying to explain that away, I noticed what I can only describe as a black, smoky hand reach up from my back seat towards my dashboard. I'm trying to get a hold of my ex or my dad, and my phone's not working. Through the tears, I look up and glance back in my back mirror to see if anyone was coming up behind me in a car. Once I looked into the mirror, I saw the black shadow figure with the red eyes in my back seat. I threw my car into drive and I started driving out of the holler. Once out, I call my ex and his brother. They come to check on me and say I must have just been shaken up from earlier. At this point, I'm sobbing that the figure is gone, but I still have that wash of dread all over me. I got calmed down and my ex followed me to my dad's house about halfway before going back to his cousin's. And 5 minutes later, I get a call from my ex saying that while he was driving, it sounded like something or someone was pounding on the outside of his car. I kid you not when I say this. After we got off the phone, I looked back in my mirror again because I had to merge and the headlights glare into my car from the car behind me. What do I see? The shadow figure. It was so dark, I believe it was actually there because the headlights from the car behind me did not go through it. I got to my dad's. I didn't grab any of my stuff out of the car. I just got out and locked it and went straight in. I sat on the couch and just started to cry. My dad asked me what was wrong, and I told him that there was something in my car. He peeked out the window towards my car, locked the door, and sits up with me until I fall asleep on the couch. To this day, I think he saw him too. I have many other stories to go with this one and many, many other true crime and paranormal. I love the podcast and I listen to it when I get the little sleep I do at work. Creep it real and don't get too scared. Much love, B from Eastern Kentucky.
Why does everything have to have red glowing eyes?
Don't like it. And you know, my mama said, never look in the back seat. If you feel like something's in the back seat, don't look. I mean, look before you get in the car, but not while you're driving. What happened to the uncle or the grandpa or what, whoever y'all's farm, like the farm that y'all were checking on, where was he at?
I do know what I've learned from this sinister sightings is I'm staying the fuck away from a farm. Corn and farms and shit, you can keep that.
Right?
I'm out.
But also about the dog, like she was acting so different, like kind of warning them to stay away. Then she was like, well, fuck, if y'all are going to do it, y'all are going to do it. Bye.
The dog said, dumbasses, I've warned you. Okay, the next one. Hello, ladies and fellow creepsters. It's technically December 28th while I'm writing this, and probably July when Carrie and Donna read it. Either way, I'm hoping that there is still some Little Debbie Christmas trees at the store. Oh, the subject was Merry Christmas. Sorry. That makes way more sense when you know the subject. So I have two stories that just happened recently. A few days before Christmas, I was finally getting home at 8 p.m. from doing some last-minute shopping, and I was pure exhausted due to taking 12-hour shopping trips almost every day for a week at that point and barely getting any sleep in between because, let's face it, holidays are stressful, and especially stressful when you have poor time management skills and wait until the last minute to shop. So a stressed-out, anxiety, out-of-medication, nerve-wracked person, I decided to take a shower and wash the day off and relax. Now, a little context so the rest of this makes sense is that we moved into a camper a few months ago and our little shower has a skylight dome thing. So I'm washing my hair and for whatever reason, I decided to open my eyes and boom, a face was looking right back at me through the skylight. I immediately screamed bloody murder and in the shock of it, I just fell straight on my butt. My boyfriend comes running into our tiny bathroom and opens the shower door and is freaking out, asking if I fell, am I hurt, what happened? And I'm still sitting and looking up, trying to find the face and tell him I saw someone looking in the skylight and it scared me and I fell, but I wasn't hurt. He then starts laughing and says, so your reflection scared you? What? No, it was a trail off, pop up real quick and peek up into the skylight. Sure enough, he was right. It was my own damn reflection that scared my legs right out from under me. I definitely felt a little silly for that one. Luckily, I have a sweet partner who rubbed my back until I relaxed and fell asleep that night. the next story. On the night before Christmas and all through the house, just kidding, I had a dream about my granny who passed away in November of 2020. It was honestly the first dream I remember anyway about her. And it was more of a memory. It was just of me walking in the house she used to live in, and the table had a red Christmas cloth with a poinsettia in the middle, and my granny was walking around and setting the table. That's all I really remember of it. But of course, on Christmas morning, I woke up thinking of my granny, missing her, and thinking about when we all went to her house for Christmas and really all the holidays. So as I'm thinking of my granny, I put on my shoes and a robe and I take out a very impatient puppers to potty. As soon as I open the door, I see a red cardinal fly by and land on a bush limb and look at me. I immediately knew it was my granny. I can't explain it. I just did. So I said out loud, "Merry Christmas, Granny," and it flew off just a second later. And that was the first time I had seen a red cardinal in over a year. And even though it's only been a few days, I haven't seen another one. That's all for now. Remember to creep it real and go ahead and start Christmas shopping now so maybe your nerves won't be shot and your reflection ends up scaring you while you're trying to shower. J-Bob. That made me giggle so hard because I know exactly what you're talking about in a camper. And I would have literally crumbled and died just like you.
I've definitely done that with like my shadow or something. Like it would be cast weird.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what was that? Why did that shadow happen? Then it's like my my toes moving, but how it is looks like something. And that's more like a critter being in my house.
Yeah.
But still, like, it freaks me out. And then I'm like, wait, that was just me. Like, I am my own worst enemy. But that is awesome that your partner rubbed your back, let you relax, and let you know that no one was looking in on you.
Right.
Okay, the last one. UFO? ? And a creepy gas man. Hey, Carrie and Donna. It's Amber from Iowa with my fourth write-in. I'm writing this on December 28th. I used to not care when people said the date, but now, after writing in and patiently waiting to hear my stories, I like it. I've got two stories for you today. Back in 2010-2011, I was going to beauty school in Ames, Iowa. I had a friend, Eric, who lived about 25 minutes in a super small town. One night, I had gone over to hang out, watch a movie with him and his boyfriend. This movie was Party Monster with Macaulay Culkin and Seth Green, for anyone who's wondering. After the movie, I was heading back to Ames on the poorly lit old back roads. We had been partaking in the devil's lettuce earlier in the night, but I thought I had come down enough to safely drive. As I got onto the longest, darkest part of the road, I noticed a bright light way off in the distance. It seemed to be staying in one place, almost like it was in a ditch. I thought it was strange, but I kept going. It was already past midnight, and I just wanted to go to bed. I was thinking it was probably a tractor or something. I was in ruralish Iowa, after all. After a whole song played on the radio, probably Kesha, the light hadn't moved, hadn't gotten any bigger, hadn't gotten any smaller. What the fuck? Am I still stoned? After that thought, the light jerked as if getting onto the road. That freaked me out. It was just a white, round light, not like headlights would be. I slowed down because what the fuck? It was just sort of lingering, still in the distance. I sped back up, and then all of a sudden, the light zooms past me. I saw nothing but light, no vehicle of any sort. It had made it from the far distance to pass me in only about 2 seconds. I was freaked the fuck out, but just kept driving home. Later in life, I've heard stories about UFOs and lights following people in the ditch along their cars. Did I see a UFO? The next one really makes my blood boil. Here's a true crime one for you, Carrie. It was in the late 90s, early 2000s, and my aunt married Fred. Fuck Fred. We hate Fred. Oh my God, you sound just like Carrie when she does her stories. Fred is a douche from, I think, Minnesota. After getting married, they moved back to where my aunt was from in Iowa. I was around 10 when the asshat was arrested and put in prison. My family wouldn't tell me why, though. Later, I found out that he was going around to little old ladies' houses pretending to be the gas man. He would do his routine of telling them that he suspected a gas leak and that he would need to come in and inspect. When the women would let him in, he would then proceed to sexually assault them. And when I say old ladies, I mean like 80, 90-year-old women. He was a 6 foot tall farmer. One of the poor women was in a wheelchair. Thankfully, he got caught and went to prison, but only served 10 years, and I don't know what his actual sentence was. While there, he was celled with an Amish man. No clue what he did to get in there. Obviously, they talked and told each other about their lives and their families, and guess the fuck what? When the asshat got out, he married his cellie's daughter. My aunt had divorced him right away. The daughter was excommunicated from her family. The last known sighting I have of him is that my sister saw him in Arby's in her hometown around 2008-2010. I remember he used to send me letters while in prison. He'd always draw and color a picture on one side and the letter on the back. I was really surprised at how well of a drawer he was. I remember mostly Scooby-Doo. I threw all of them away as fast as I got them. I think I have a few more to tell, so I'll write in again later. Not sorry for the length. Just means it's a longer episode. Love you both and all the creepsters out there, Amber.
What the fuck?
You're right. We hate Fred. Fuck Fred.
But like, so the daughter just came over to see her dad and happened to meet the celly and they just like fell in love and she left her whole life for this guy who raped elderly women?
Right? Like, I get that. Like, I know someone who has met someone in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were going to visit their cousin, saw this cute guy, he saw her, and it was like, okay. But this guy, Fred, was in prison for raping older women. And not older, I mean older. I don't even like old people, but that is a no-go.
I just don't understand. Like, I know that's a fetish that people have, like sexual sadists. Well, I don't know if sexual sadists. Listen to me. I watch one episode of Criminal Minds and I think I'm a fucking profiler. But like, I don't understand it, but I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and who knows? I mean.
But I just, it's so fucking disgusting. How shitty of a person do you have to be? One, to rape someone, but two, to rape someone so goddamn vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, literally, fuck all the way off, Fred.
But it made me laugh so hard. And I was trying to keep it in when you said, I was really surprised at how well of a drawer he was.
Also, why was he sending you letters?
Right?
Like, what in the fucking grooming was going on there?
Yeah.
Like, that is, it's not like it was your stepdad. Like, it was your aunt's husband. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he had been there for years. I don't know. That's fucking creepy.
Ugh.
Yeah, we hate Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Drop dead, Fred. Like the movie. Get it?
Yeah, got it.
Okay. And I don't know if you saw a UFO, but you may have.
I feel like you probably did, because I feel like me and Carrie saw one, too.
I don't remember.
You don't remember that?
Mm-mm.
We were coming back from, I want to say the hospital, but it might not have been. But we were coming back by Hercules and stuff, and we turned down a road, and we both.
Yes. I remember now.
This is our life right here. Huh, I don't remember. Me have to tell her very specific detail. Oh, yeah. How did I forget that?
Well, y'all told us some good stories this week. And again, I continue because even fuck Fred was a fucking farmer. Fred the fucking farmer. So.
Oh, yeah. You continue with not wanting to be by farms.
Yes.
Also, I love how you guesstimated that we would read that in July and it's April. So just so y'all know, Carrie's not lying.
Just call me fucking George Washington. I cannot tell a lie. We're running low.
I thought that was Abraham Lincoln.
No, because he chopped down the cherry tree.
Oh, he chopped down the cherry tree, yeah.
He chopped down the what tree, Donna?
Cherry tree.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, thank y'all so much for sending in all these stories. Fuck a farmer right now. Just kidding. Thank you for keeping us fed. if you want your story.
If that's not Carrie's fucking personality right there. Like, fuck a farmer. Well, just kidding, because, like, thank you for everything that you do, and I really appreciate that, but, like, I'm so scared of this, and I don't know. She just, it's a 180.
If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com, and remember,
creep it real,
and don't get scared.